Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Thanksgiving Eve. It is the day before the big meal. Hopefully you have your travel plans. You're either driving to KCI to pick somebody up, or you're on your way back with the family, or you're getting ready to get the heck out of town. Jamie is still in South Africa, and we'll be back on Monday. We will have some best of for you on Friday, as we have Mizzou football at 11:30 up against the Arkansas Razorbacks. But joining
That'll be good after yesterday.
This man has interviewed mayors, senators, governors, presidents of the United States of America, but I think this tops it. He's making his midday debut in studio from Channel 9. Welcome in Kansas City's anchorman, Chris Ketz. Thank you for being here.
It's good to be here. I have something for you.
You have something for me.
Donna Pittman, First News anchor on KNBC.
Yeah.
Had an envelope on my desk and said, Chris, will you please return this to KMBZ?
What did she steal when she was here?
We're going to open up the envelope and find out. Oh, she stole one of your headphone adapters.
Those are the things that if you stick your regular tiny headphone, the end of it.
This is just like a stereo jack all this.
Yeah, it's a mini to a quarter inch.
Right.
And are gold.
And she stole it.
She did.
She committed a crime.
Media thief.
You know, and I've known Donna for many, many years, and to see her go down this road is so sad.
Does she have a meeting with HR today?
You know what? Probably.
I
think it's necessary.
I think we stole that from Scott Parks.
Maybe an intervention.
Yeah.
So do I give this to you or do I give that to Scott?
I'll make sure it gets its way, because these, for radio people, these things are gold.
Yeah, they are.
Because headphones, for the most part, are always the little guys.
Yeah.
And then these go into the jacks properly.
And for Donna Pittman to just rip it off like that for you guys is...
Horrible. She's a mother.
Really inexcusable, setting a poor example for her wonderful children, aside from the fact that there's just great disappointment among her colleagues right now.
I wonder if Donna returned it out of shame and guilt, or if it was just the right thing to do. I don't know.
It was probably shame and guilt. That's what it was.
How are you?
I'm great. Real quick, so I walk into the studio...
Already taken it. I love it.
And, you know, this is the chair that my wife sits in from 2 to 6.
Yes, yes. Dana is there.
You're in Scott's chair, and I'm in Dana's.
Mm-hmm.
So, right by her microphone, her workstation, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, EJ and Jamie and Dana all share that side of the table.
Okay. So, there is a curling iron. I recognize the curling iron. That's my wife's. And some sort of container with a bunch of hair curlers that you plug in, and it's got my wife's name on it. And I'm like, what in the world does she do? So clearly, from 2 to 6, when she's not talking to Scott, when she's not talking to the audience, she's curling her hair.
Yeah, I think so. Actually, she might be doing that while she's talking to Scott.
You guys are paying her to basically... curl her hair on afternoon drive radio.
They're number one.
Yo, I know. They've got they're a huge audience. No, I get it. No, I've seen the numbers. Yeah, I get it.
They're doing well.
So literally, she is part of this really successful radio show, but is she, it speaks to her commitment to the program as to whether or not she's fully invested or not. If I walk in here and I find her curling iron by her workstation.
Well, people ask if this job is hard. You can just do your hair.
Well, it is. Now, but the thing is, it is hard. If you think you can walk in and do 4 hours of radio, give it a shot. Mm-hmm. Because if it were that easy, everybody would be doing it.
Very, very true.
No, it's hard. No,
I know that yesterday she was at the Chamber of Commerce dinner,
She was there last night,
So, yeah, I think she was getting ready for that during the show.
Okay.
I believe she had brought all that stuff in.
Because
Nikki Pace from The Rock was in doing the same thing.
And Nikki did a great job, by the way. Since you brought up the Chamber dinner last night, a real quick shout out to Alvin Brooks, who was named Kansas City End of the Year last night. And there is a photo which was captured by our mutual friend Elizabeth Alex that I posted on Twitter last night. The moment that Alvin Brooks was named Kansas City End of the Year. And the recipient is, it's always a surprise, though, in the spirit of full disclosure, the chamber puts the word out to local reporters. I think I found out around 3 p.m. that Al was going to get it.
So you had your, but you it's your embargoed.
Yeah,
right,
so nobody nobody says anything, obviously. But there is this wonderful photo that I posted on my Twitter page of the moment that former Mayor Kay Barnes, who is also a past Kansas City End of the Year recipient, so Kay's making the announcement that Al Brooks is this year's Kansas City End of the Year. And you see this photo of this 87-year-old, this wonderful man who has meant so much to Kansas City on so many levels down through the years. He has his face in his hands, and he has this look on his face like, oh, my God, what just happened? It is such a genuine, wonderful moment and such a wonderful honor for a guy who has, he's been there, done that for so many years, and I can't think of anybody who is more deserving of the honor than Alvin Brooks. And just, Al, way to go.
It was a cool a moment last night. I saw it all happen and develop on Twitter. And not, obviously, I've only been here for 4 years. I'm not terribly familiar with Mr. Brooks.
Al Brooks, for those who don't know, started the ad hoc group against crime in 1977.
Wow.
Al Brooks has been a Kansas City, Missouri police officer. He's been a city council member. He has run for mayor. He's been mayor pro tem. He sat on the Hickman Mills school board. He was on the Kansas City, Missouri Police Board up until a couple of years ago. But I think he is best known for his work in the community as it relates to ad hoc. I can't tell you the number of times where when I spent a lot more time on the street than I do now as a reporter, we'd be at the scene of a homicide and Al would be there. And Al was there to help the victims' families and to do what he could to try to help police solve whatever crime was happening at the time. But Alvin Brooks is just, man, he's just as genuine as they get. And a guy who loves Kansas City and who cares deeply about this community. And as I say, the fact that he got Kansas City End of the Year, I'm thinking he probably should have gotten this a long time ago, but better late than never. And as I say, I can't think of anyone more deserving than Al Brooks.
So what you're saying is I should beef up my resume if I want to win this thing next year. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, listen, you and I are way down on that list. Yeah, I don't think we have much to worry about.
I don't think you and I are on the same level.
We're both, way down on that list. But anyway, it was a great choice. And Rob Riggle was the keynote, I guess. And I guess he just, judging by what my wife said last night, judging by what I saw on Twitter last night on social media, Rob Riggle just killed last night. I guess he was just, couldn't have been funnier. He's a KU guy. And so he wasn't shy about rubbing that into any K-Staters or Mizzou Tigers who happened to be in the room. And there were obviously quite a few last night.
Mizzou had a rough week. Mizzou's had a real rough week. You know, every Jayhawk fan is just pouring salt in the wound of every Mizzou fan.
And for the, not to get off on a tangent, but for the NCAA to come up with this decision on basically a couple of days before Mizzou gets a chance to play Arkansas in football and a chance to win their sixth game and become bowl eligible, which is a big deal for any Division I college football program, for them to come out and say, nah,
can't do it.
Is really just cold.
And I think the lesson that everybody's talking about, and Mizzou actually self-reported violations, thinking, hey, we're going to do the right thing. We're going to be the adults in the room. And you know what? It didn't matter. Meanwhile, other schools will remain nameless, have denied, taken the Shaggy defense. It wasn't me.
Yep.
And nothing.
And I don't, I didn't go to Mizzou. I didn't go to KU. My oldest son is a Mizzou grad. Jonathan graduated from the School of Journalism at the University of Missouri, the world's finest school of journalism. If you don't believe him, just ask him; they'll tell you. And so I don't, I root for them all. But yeah, I think Mizzou felt like, listen, we caught it, we called ourselves on it, we dealt with it, we launched an exhaustive investigation. They spent like $500,000 on this thing.
Yep.
handed everything over to the NCAA in hopes of catching a break.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't get it.
And what stinks the most is now they're going to lose out. Not playing in the bowl is one thing. It's like, okay, even if they do beat Arkansas, who knows what happens on Friday? I mean, this has been a bad 5 weeks.
You know, but there's a bigger question here. Like, I mean, they broke the rules.
Yes, they
did. That is a fact. It is not in dispute. They broke the rules. Now, I guess the larger question is, should they get the hammer dropped on them, or do you feel like they should get a break because they called themselves on it? Mm-hmm. That's a tough one to answer.
If you just keep hiding the truth and avoiding and avoiding and avoiding and all this kind of stuff, I mean, what happens? You just get to keep on playing.
Right.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to
being the good person in the room.
And it adds fuel to the fire to this thought that at some point, all of the Power Five conferences are going to come together in a room one of these days and say, you know what, we're done with the NCAA. We can go out and negotiate our own TV contracts. We can do this ourselves, and we can do it better and perhaps in a more equitable manner. I think we're probably a ways from that.
Away, yeah.
But I think this is another step down that road.
Chris Katz is in studio today until noon. If you want to fire away questions for him, you can. I have plenty because it's going to be we're going to do a trip down a lot of memory lane here. It's the day before Thanksgiving. You've been in this city on Channel 9 for 36 years.
No, here's the deal. It's the day before Thanksgiving, and Jamie's gone, and Wicket's mailing it in.
That is not true. Yeah. I have you in here. Yeah. This is it. This is the highlight of the week. I had Kander in here. I had Mayor Lucas in here.
You did.
But having you in here is awesome. I'm so glad you're able to make it. Chris Katz is here from Channel 9. It's Midday with Jamie and Wicket. Coming up, I must be the only person in Kansas City that doesn't know the Bill Clinton story. But we'll find out.
So you're the one.
I might be. But we'll hear about it. We'll play you the audio of Chris Katz and when Bill Clinton had a question for him or two. We'll do that coming up next as Chris Katz joins me in studio here on 98.1 KMBZ. Midday with Jamie and Wicket, 98.1 KMBZ. Chris Katz from Channel 9 sitting in for the first half of today's show.
What are you gonna do in the second half? Or have you figured that out yet?
Replay the first half. No, we've got some. We're actually going to jump back into yesterday's program or yesterday's news about John Sherman mm-hmm. and the ownership group of mm-hmm. the Kansas City Royals.
What do you think about that?
I think the group being 30 people deep. Mm-hmm. And all being from Kansas City mm-hmm. proves just how much David Glass wanted to find a Kansas City owner. And I think that's really important to a market like this. Yeah. As opposed to somebody who could come in, you know, some billionaire from New York who could buy it, maybe probably for $500 million more or whatever, and really have no interest in anything but making money, maybe moving the team. Like, I think Sherman is Kansas City. The group is all people in Kansas City, including Eric Stone Street, which mm-hmm. is super weird. But I think that shows commitment to this city.
Yeah. Now, if I'm a Royals fan, and I thought John Sherman won the news conference yesterday, which it probably sounds easier, it's actually harder than it sounds, really, mm-hmm. I think. But I thought everything went for the Royals, for the organization, really well yesterday. I think they're off to a pretty good start for 2020. I thought Mike Matheny's rollout was done really well.
I'm not the biggest fan of the Matheny hire, but we shall see.
Yeah, no.
We'll find out.
And, you know, and he's aware of how he left in St. Louis and the baggage that mm-hmm. came along with it. You know, he sounds like a guy who has been groomed for this job for the last year within the organization. And just from a personality standpoint, I thought that rollout was done really well, and as I say, I think yesterday was handled very well. Now, this is a franchise that's still in a small market, and they're still going to be faced with the same kinds of challenges that every other small market team is going to face.
Sherman's not coming in and raising the payroll to $200 million.
And that's not going to happen. And you know, and now they're I think the conversations about a new ballpark probably probably pick up in momentum.
Save your text messages. We're not getting into that right now.
No, but that's you know, that's coming. You know, it's granted they still have 10 years left on the lease, but you know, I think in a normal environment you start talking about a new ballpark maybe 5 years out. Maybe that starts a little bit earlier. I do think that and this is, I know Dave Helling with the Star has written about this in editorials, and I think it's probably worth exploring. I'm not saying for or against, but it's worth dangling your toes in the water. You know, the last time this community came together in a united way, a time when the community put its money where its mouth was Union Station and Bi-State One. I do think that there probably will be discussions about a possible Bi-State 2 when it comes to the Royals in a new ballpark, whether it's downtown, whether it's out by the Legends, wherever. But I do think that conversation is going to be had. And also, you know, if the Royals get a new ballpark, the Chiefs are going to be looking for the same thing. So these are tremendously important questions that Kansas Cityans are going to have to come to grips with at some point. And especially, you know, who's going to pay for it and how much?
Well, that's one thing Kansas City loves is more taxes.
Absolutely.
Love when taxes, right. And people really love.
And I didn't hear John Sherman say anything about as it relates, and not that he was going to make a commitment to a new ballpark anyway, but you know, once that conversation begins in earnest, the question's going to be, all right, you want a new ballpark. How much of your money is going to go into this?
You're starting.
What are we on the hook for? And how much are you going to put in?
The trend lately has been to go away from public financing.
Right.
I mean, there have been, like when I was in Milwaukee, it was half from the owners and half from public financing.
Right.
I know that, is it the new Warriors, Ketzer? Is it the Warriors that was all privately financed?
Yeah, in San Francisco. That's all private.
So you're starting to see that more because people are just like, why are we funding these billionaires' projects?
Right.
You know, these half billion dollar stadiums. I think the Los Angeles Stadium, I don't even know, is that public or private finance? But it's like $3 billion over.
Yeah.
Like, how did that happen? For two teams that nobody really wants in LA anyway, but they're spending billions and billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah, it's nuts.
You'll hear from John Sherman coming up. We'll do that after the 12 o'clock news and some of the things, including it was neat to hear him tell how he didn't even answer David Glass's original phone call. He just let it go to voicemail.
Which is an illustration of the kind of relationship that obviously they have and enjoy and benefit from. And, yeah, if you're John Sherman, it's David Glass. I'll get to him later.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's fine.
Who is this fella?
This can't be that important. I'll get to it later.
So coming up after the news, we have to talk about a quick soundbite here from your past. This would have been back in, I'm guessing, somewhere in the 1990s when you were at KCI reporting. I just want to play it, and then you can tell the full story of all of this coming up after we get to the 10:30 news here.
40 minutes late at this point, so he was scheduled for a 1:30 fundraiser at the Westin, and the rumor in this room is it's going to take about anywhere from $5,000 to maybe $10,000 to get a chance to break bread with the president this afternoon. He will leave KCI at 3:35, and again, we'll have more on the president's visit to Kansas City tonight. The live report from KNBC on KNBC 9 News at 5. Let's go back to regular program.
What I like so much is as the crowd was cheering and laughing at you.
Where did you find this?
I have spies on the other side of the glass. Hey, Dad.
I have spies. I didn't give it to him. I'll tell you, he didn't ask me.
How in the world you kept on going with the president mocking you in the background is beyond me, but we'll get to that.
Chris Ketz. There's a backstory there.
Chris Ketz is joining me in studio. It's Midday with Jamie and Wicket. To the newsroom, here's Dan Weinbaum.
Window tint lands a man in prison for 10 years. More ahead.
Happy
Happy Thanksgiving Eve. It's midday with Jamie and Wicket on 98.1 KMBZ. Channel 9's Chris Ketz. You know, I'm surprised you don't have a tie on.
A little early.
A little early for the tie?
A little early in the day.
Do you sleep in a suit?
No.
How many suits do you own?
A few.
Jason, how many suits does your father own?
So there was one day, this was back is back in the Carriage Hills house still, Dad.
So this was pre-tornado.
This would have been after the tornado.
Okay.
So this would have been Carriage Hills.
I don't know if you knew this or not. May 4, 2003. He was there.
Yeah.
He was there. Okay. I was, you know, three blocks away in what was then his grandfather's, my father-in-law's house, mm-hmm. which took a hit first, but he was there.
Wow.
But anyway.
Yeah,
we'll
you
went
into
later.
Full reporter mode, but
kind of have to. It's in your blood.
No, that's fair. Yeah, I went into that closet that we had right by my room, mm-hmm. and I counted 54 that day.
54. And this was when?
Ooh, 2005, 2006.
Okay. How has the collection grown?
It hasn't grown. I think it well, I'll tell you. You know, I've lost about 30 pounds in the last 3 months.
Good for you. Congrats on that. Well, I mean, you'll gain it all back tomorrow.
No.
Okay.
No,
okay. Negative.
So we were going through my, Dana and I were going through my closet recently, and there were a bunch of suits in there that that I hadn't worn in a long time because, quite frankly, I couldn't get into them. And we were going to donate them. And as I said, they were probably 15, 20, maybe, you know.
Okay. All right.
And so I, just on a whim, I put one on, fit great.
Wow.
And then I put another one on. Oh, man, this. And then another and another.
Yeah.
And so so my wardrobe has actually expanded some.
As you have contracted.
As I have contracted.
The wardrobe has expanded.
Yeah,
We were just talking about John Sherman. And
yes.
I noticed you didn't do a live stand-up outside or during John Sherman's press conference as he was introduced as the new owner of the Royals.
Yeah, and I wasn't there. So
that, you were not there. Yeah. Meanwhile, what year was this one with President Clinton?
So it would have been 98.
1998. Is he at KCI? Why was he
no,
in
No, he was actually, he was in the ballroom of what was then, what did they call it then? They called it, I think it was the, was it the Ritz, the Alameda? It is what is now the Intercontinental.
Okay.
On the Plaza.
What was he doing here?
He, President Clinton was here to address a meeting of the National Governors Association.
Okay.
And it was to be a noontime speech. And if you've ever been to the ballroom of what is now the Intercontinental, it's not, I mean, it's a sizable room, but it's, you know, there are ballrooms that are bigger in town than that one is. And so, the plan was, at Channel 9, in terms of coverage, we were going to take just a couple of minutes of the speech off the top at 12 noon because if you were an ABC affiliate, and at the time, the soap opera All My Children was huge. And God forbid you should preempt All My Children because you're just asking for trouble.
You're asking for the old biddies.
You're just asking for trouble.
Yeah, I get it.
So we were just gonna carry a couple of moments of the speech and say, hey, we'll see it at 5 and 6. And so my back was, we're all the reporters are along on a riser in the back of the room. And I had my back to the president, looking straight into the camera. Our photographer, who is still with us, who's one of the best photojournalists on the face of the planet, Tim Twyman, was behind the camera. And so noon hits, his speech starts. I start talking. You bug in your ear. You got people talking to you. And to this day, and I just told this, I emceed an event for the Community Services League at the Intercontinental just the other night. And I started that evening by saying, you know, this room is the scene of probably the most embarrassing moment for me in my 36 years at KMBC. It happened right in this room. And I proceeded to tell the story that I'm about to tell again. So my back is to the president, and to this day, okay, I still feel like I was speaking in a very hushed golf course.
Recreate it for me. How did you think you sounded?
Something like this, you know, uh-huh. The president is speaking, and it's a busy day, and, you know, we'll see you at 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm. Here's how you actually sounded.
Yeah.
40 minutes late at this point, so he was scheduled for a 1:30 fundraiser at the Westin, and the rumor in this room is it's going to take about anywhere from $5,000 to maybe $10,000.
What did he say at that moment that got the crowd to laugh? Because you can kind of hear him in the background.
Yeah. So he stops in the middle of his speech, points his finger to the back of the room, and says, at me, does that guy back there want to give a speech?
Is anyone else doing a live hit at this
point? Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm sure I wasn't the only one, but I don't know. So, he gets a huge laugh, as you heard.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, we both can't talk at the same time. Something like that. And gets another big laugh. And so I still don't know what I'm oblivious
you
to
keep
all
going.
Of this. I keep going. I have no idea all of this is happening. So
here's the
I get done.
The consummate pro that you are. Here's how it sounds.
You get a chance to break bread with the president this afternoon. He will leave KCI at 3:35. And again, we'll have more on the president's visit to Kansas City tonight. The live report from KNBC on KNBC 9 News at 5. Let's go back to regular program.
We both can't talk at the same time. I see, this is the first time I've heard that. I didn't know. God only knows where you found this.
Your son.
Jason.
Your son did
Where'd
this.
Where did you find this? Where did you find this?
It was
his sources.
You had it on your KNBC Facebook page.
Really?
Yeah. I had to dig back a long way. It was like 3 years ago when you posted it on the day.
Kid has a lot of free time on his
hands. I know. You know, you'd think he'd do more for the show.
You would think. anyway, so the moment passes, and I still don't know what has happened. And so the speech ends, and I am suddenly surrounded by three members of the president's Secret Service detail.
Oh, my Lord.
And they want to see my credential. Okay, fine. Here it is. I still don't know what's going on. And so they see it, and they kind of, they took a look at it, wrote it down, left. So at this point, I know something has happened, but I don't know what it is. And then moments later, I'm surrounded by about six members of the White House press corps. And they start firing questions. And it's at that moment that it dawned on me what had happened.
Who starts firing away at
you? I have no idea.
I don't know who was in the press corps at that time.
Okay. But I remember there was a moment during this gaggle, and I turned to my right, and it was Steve Kraske, who was then the lead political guy for the Star and one of the nicest guys. You know, he's on another radio station across the street. And up until a couple of years, not very long ago, he was on the Star's editorial board. And again, just a wonderful guy. And I turned to Steve and I said, was I that loud? And you got to know Steve, who rarely has a crossword to say about anybody. And Steve kind of went, yeah.
So you weren't speaking in the hush monotone. You thought you were.
I didn't know that. So at that moment, I called into my newsroom, and I was anchoring the 5 o'clock news then, and got with my producer and said, and they were watching the speech on a clean feed. They were just looking at the president. They knew something had happened, but they didn't know that I had anything to do with it. And so I said, hey, that moment where the president was in her, she said, yeah. And I said, that was me. And they said, no. And so I said, here's the deal. I need to make an apology. So I said, I asked the producer, I said, give me like, you know, a minute 30 at the end of the five and I'll write an apology. And so come in, wrote the apology. My boss at the time, Brian Bracco, was out to lunch and was not aware of this until he came back from lunch. And so I walked into his office and I said, Brian, here's what happened. And he's like, okay. And I said, I want to write an apology and I want to deliver it at 5. He said, okay. He said, just let me see it before you do it. I said, that's great. So I wrote the apology, showed it to Brian. He said, great. Deliver the apology at 5.
Throw it in the teleprompter.
Everything was fine. So we get done with the 5 o'clock, come out, and Brian says, hey, would you mind doing that apology again at 6? So, yeah.
Nice.
So anyway, long story short, I wrote a letter to the White House, got a letter back, and they're both framed at the house.
Have you spoken to President Clinton since?
No.
Okay. I didn't know if you ever had a sit down with him ever since that.
Nope.
Okay. What would you say to him now? Would it just be a repeat of the apology you wrote 15 years ago?
I'm sorry. You know,
Yeah.
I didn't know. Simple as that. Yeah.
Chris Ketz in studio from Channel 9. Going to be here until 12 o'clock. We'll play Ask Chris Anything coming up in about an hour from right now. Let's see. Where to go next on this list of things to get to?
What do you mean you have a list of things?
Oh,
where did you get a list of?
My people helped me put together a list of things to talk with you about, including your appearance on a very famous talk show multiple times. What did you discuss with Oprah?
Oh, sure.
That's okay. Next. It's Midday with Jamie and Wicked on 98.1 KMBZ. Channel 9's Chris Ketz is in for Jamie today. She's back on Monday. From the text line, so much fun listening to you and Chris Ketz. Thanks and happy Thanksgiving.
Back at you.
Why were you on Oprah?
Twice.
My bad. Why were you on Oprah twice?
The first time or the second time?
Yes.
Okay.
We have 8.5 minutes.
All right, the first time
How's
was...
How's that, Mr. Anchorman?
Well, the first time, the Oprah Winfrey Show, when it ran, was important for me personally because it was the lead-in to a newscast that I anchored.
Okay.
And so, and Oprah Winfrey made a marvelous career for herself in a variety of ways, but just a little bit of inside baseball. You know, she was usually the early afternoon show before everybody's early evening newscast. And so, you know, my station and a lot of other stations, obviously all over the country, paid Oprah a lot of money to generate a big lead-in for our early evening newscast. And we were no different. And this was back when Oprah was, just a powerhouse. And so, We actually called, it was Kelly Eckerman, my longtime co-anchor at 5 and who anchors our 4 o'clock newscast. Kelly and I were actually together on her show.
Okay.
And we kind of internally, we called it an opportunity.
And so what, you TV guys, I swear. Geez,
you guys are killing me. So the reason why Kelly and I were on Oprah was she had some sort of expert when it came to getting your life organized. And so in our old newsroom back at the Lyric downtown, my desk was, and still is to a degree, very neat, tidy, everything in its place, you know, not a lot of clutter.
Okay. Is that true at home too, Jason? Is that right?
Well, you had 2 desks at the old station.
True, true. But they were both, okay. But Kelly's desk was a mess.
Okay.
And she would tell you that. I'm not speaking out. I mean, her desk was a mess. And so the plan was to bring Kelly and I on, and we were going to have this expert look at our desks. And so anyway, the timing of this program, and back then, Oprah would, and when she was producing her show in Chicago, this was a 9 a.m. taping, which was actually seen live in Chicago on the ABC station there, but okay. It was sent out to the rest of the country later in the day. But because it was seen live in Chicago, you know, a 2-minute break was a 2-minute break, okay? But so we were there. We ended up being there. The show was scheduled on the day after the Oklahoma City bombing.
Oh, my.
Okay. So we get there the night before, and we're not really sure what's going to happen the next day.
Sure.
And so we get up early, we go to the studio, do whatever it is we had to do, and we're basically sitting in the green room as the show is coming on, and Oprah comes on and says, listen, hey, because again, the show is seen live in Chicago, and it's going to be sent out to the rest of the country later in the day. We were going to do this show on this, but Oklahoma City just happened, and we're going to talk about this. So, you know, Kelly and I are sitting in the green room saying, okay, this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Things take
precedence.
She
had to know.
Yeah.
She absolutely made the right call. So we get about 40 minutes into her show, and Oprah decides to call an audible and say, hey, we're going to try and do the show that we had originally scheduled for today. We'll be back. And so we got these producers. They literally come running into the green room. And we're already mic'd up, made up, ready to go. And we start hustling out to the studio.
Yeah.
And so, and I'll never forget, once we got out to the studio, you know, the Oprah Winfrey Show, she had guests on stage, and she also would refer to guests in the audience sitting in the front row. So Kelly and I, for some reason, I thought we were going to head to, like, the front row seat in the crowd. And so I'm starting to make kind of a beeline toward the crowd, and this producer kind of grabs me and says, no, you're on home base.
Ooh, all right.
Oprah. So I'm like, okay. So, we went ahead and did the show that we were supposed to do, and so there you go.
What was it like when you first meet?
She was very nice.
I mean, it's Oprah.
Well, and
she's one of the biggest media personalities in the history of the planet.
She was very nice, and obviously she knew who we were because we carried a show, and obviously knew that, in a market like Kansas City, she was very popular, so she was aware of all of that. But she was very nice.
Cool.
Very nice. And if you were a guest on the Oprah Winfrey Show, you got a coffee cup that had the logo of the show on one side, and then on the other side, thanks, Oprah. And I still have those.
That's kind of neat.
Very cool.
Why did you go on a second time?
Was because of the interruption of President Clinton. She had this segment about, embarrassing moments on local television news, and I was on with Fox investigative guy in Chicago and a couple of others, And so that got me on Oprah the second time.
What did she say to you when you? Did she play the clip?
No, sure she did.
Okay.
Yeah, we had fun with it.
Yeah,
it was fine.
Okay.
It was fine. No, and by then, like I say, I'd already delivered the apology. I'd already gotten the letter back.
Right.
Life went on just fine.
Sure. Well, that's kind of neat.
And I knew that you know, this wasn't some career ending thing.
No, not at all.
But one of those things that I even at the time I said, 20 years from now we're gonna have fun with this.
Absolutely. So. And here we are.
And here we are having fun with it. There you go.
You used to do mornings.
Yes.
Now you're on nights on Channel 9. Which one do you like better?
God, I had a lot of fun doing First News. Mm-hmm. I did. I had a lot of fun doing First News. I always thought that...
Mornings can be a little goofier sometimes with some of the segments and things, I would assume.
I've always said it is at least in television news, it's a great schedule if you can hack getting up in the middle of the night. And my alarm would go off at 12:40 a.m.
Oh, my Lord. Okay?
And I'd be in by 2, come on at 4:30, and, we do our 4.5 hours. Now, the beauty of that schedule for me was your producer,
yes,
my son... was first news for me happened as he was entering high school.
Okay.
Okay. And he was a wrestler and a football player at Staley High School up north, a member of the 2011 undefeated Missouri Class 5 state champions, by the way.
Do you still wear football? The ring, man? Where's that ring at?
Ring is at home. I've worn it 5 times.
I think I've seen it once.
I'd wear that thing all the time.
No,
man.
I've seen it maybe once. No, he doesn't. And it's a big and it's a cool ring, let me tell you. But yeah, I think I've only seen it once. But anyway, but the beauty of that the schedule for me was in 4 years of wrestling and in 4 years of football, I never missed a Friday night. I think I may have missed maybe 2 or 3 wrestling meets.
Possibly.
Maybe.
That's and we cool. And we traveled a lot, too.
And, when they had district wrestling in,
Carthage
on a Friday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, boom, I'm there. Not a problem.
You can't do that if you're doing nights.
Can't do that at nights.
Yeah, exactly.
So this schedule for me, personally, couldn't have come at a better time. In fact, when I went to First News, your brother Jonathan... said, "Oh, great, Dad! You wait till I'm a senior in high school to get off nights."
Pretty much,
and he was only, and Jonathan was only kind of half kidding.
Right, exactly. So. I mean, we know who your favorite is.
And then for me, it was different because, like, I wasn't used to seeing you around just because you were working all the time. Right. And it's almost like I got to the point, like halfway through my sophomore year, I'm like, "What the hell is he still doing here?"
Yeah. Right, exactly.
What could he just?
God, this annoying man. Yeah. Everybody sees him on TV. Chris Kessler, Channel 9, is in studio here on 98.1 KMBZ. We'll talk about the Kansas City Royals. We'll talk about the Kansas Jayhawks coming up, interviewing President Obama in the White House. I think I definitely want to hear that story. And we'll play Ask Chris Ketz Anything coming up at 11:45, where you can text in questions for Kansas City's anchorman. And we'll fire away. That's coming up at 11:45. It's almost 11 o'clock. Dan Weinbaum is in KMBZ's newsroom.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.